This morning I'd like to begin by speaking about the anniversary that we celebrate this year. When we have anniversaries, we have what we call the silver anniversary, the 25 years, and the golden anniversaries, the 50 years, and the diamond anniversaries, the 75 years. So what anniversary are we talking about? We're talking about the anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. And that's 1,700 years ago. Try to comprehend that anniversary. The Council of Nicaea was held in 325 under the papacy of Pope Saint Sylvester. And what was the purpose of this council? To address the heresy of Arius. In the early church, the heresies that plagued the church were especially pertaining to the person of Christ. Arius denied that Jesus was truly God. He denied the divinity of Christ. Arianism spread like wildfire. And we know from history that God raises up saints to combat the evils and the heresies of the times. And in this instance, God raised up Saint Athanasius. Saint Athanasius, when he saw how quickly Arianism was spreading, and people were commenting to him about what was going on, he said, "They can have the churches, but we have the true faith." Another occasion, they said, "Look, it seems like the whole world is going after Arius and following him." Then he said, "It will be Athanasius against the world. It doesn't matter." Arius was condemned as a heretic. Very clearly, God has revealed the divinity of Christ. Before his coming, before the coming of Jesus Christ, God inspired the prophets to speak, and especially the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah said, "God himself will come and save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, then will the ears of the deaf be unstopped, and the tongue of the mute will be unloosed, will be released, and they can speak. And the lame man shall leap as the deer, like the hart. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," Isaiah also said, "and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called God the Mighty." With the coming of our Lord, we know clearly how Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and proved it by miracles. "Amen, amen, I say to you," he told the Jews, "before Abraham even existed, I am." They took up stones to cast at Christ because they said, "This man claims to be God, he blasphemes." We also know, too, when Jesus stood before the high priest said, "Art thou the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God?" Jesus said, "Thou hast said it, I am." Our Lord backed up his words by miracles, publicly worked in front of his friends and enemies alike, publicly seen. Our Lord proved his divine nature and mission. In one of his beloved disciples, St. John, he begins his gospel, the fourth gospel. He begins the gospel by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." When we think of what we call the redemption of man, the very purpose of the Son of God coming into the world was to redeem us. Adam and Eve had forfeited for all of us the right to go to heaven. We're born into this world without sanctifying grace in our souls. Because of Adam's original sin, we needed a redeemer. And that redeemer, because man had sinned, man had to suffer. But in order to make infinite satisfaction and atonement, that redeemer had to be also God. And that is the reason why God He so loved the world to send his only begotten Son. The Redeemer had to be both God and man, one person, but two natures, to suffer and to make infinite satisfaction and atonement. We also know at the Council of Nicaea that they determined once and for all throughout the whole universal church the celebration of Easter. Now, most of the church celebrated Easter on the Sunday after the first full moon of the vernal equinox, corresponding to the time of what we call the Passover, the Jews. That is when Christ died on the cross, the time of the Passover. Now, there were some parts of the church following the custom of St. John the Apostle who allowed his Jewish converts to celebrate not on the Sunday, but on the Passover. In fact, we read in the history of the church how St. Polycarp went to speak to the Pope about this matter, and he insisted on Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox. But you know, we sometimes think of it, why didn't they get this act together? Why didn't they figure this out? They didn't have telephones. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Facebook or Instagram or whatever those things are people communicate. They didn't have any of that. Travel was slow. Communication was slow. But it was at the Council of Nicaea they determined the exact time for the celebration of Easter. You know, if you ever have a Protestant friend who asks you questions about the faith and say, hey, why do we celebrate Easter on a different Sunday each year? Where'd that come from? Who figured that out? I don't know. Yeah, it was the church that did that. That goes all the way back to the apostles. And that's where we see history. History shows us that the one true church of Christ is the Catholic Church. The evidence is there. The facts are there. We can point to any particular age of the church, and we see popes, or we see the councils of the church. We go to the catacombs. The early Christians had mass in the catacombs. They had the same faith as we have. There's burial places for the popes, for bishops, for priests, deacons, subdeacons, all the orders that we have in the Catholic Church. The evidence is so clear, it's all there. You know, one time, our sisters driving up to Minnesota broke down. Winter time, not a good time to break down in Minnesota, because it gets cold up there. And who was driving by but a minister, a Protestant minister. And he was nice enough to say, oh, you can stay over at my house with my wife and daughter and we'll take you in. Boy, I'd like to be a fly in the wall for that conversation. So they had someone work on their car the next day on Saturday. And it seemed like the preacher, not priests, they had preachers, but it seemed like his daughter was very fascinated by the sisters. Like, who are these people? This is like, whoa, I've never encountered this before. And one of the sisters said, I'd like to give her a gift, a book, or something for her to read. What do you think would be good? I said, give her the book, The Victories of the Martyrs, by St. Alphonsus Liguori. These are true stories about men and women and boys and girls who died for the faith. These are actual people. Gives the date, the place, and the type of martyrdom. And you can't but help but realize the early Christians were Catholics. The early Christians believed the same faith as we do. In fact, it's very clear in this book that the blood of the martyrs was a seed for spreading the Catholic faith throughout the world. So we return to our original point. This year, 2025, we celebrate the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. That's a long time ago. And you know what's beautiful is that after the sermon, we go back to the altar and we recite the Nicene Creed, a much more developed creed from the Apostles' Creed that we pray during the Rosary, especially when it comes to Christ, that Jesus Christ is God of God, light of light, true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, one substance with the Father. Jesus is indeed God. What a wonderful thing it is when we think of history and see that throughout history, the beautiful evidence of the church that Christ founded. And you know, this reminds us too, when I think of like Council of Nicaea, St. Athanasius, Arianism, heresy. When we look at the 20 ecumenical councils of the church, when we look at the 260-some-odd popes, you know what's beautiful? We see consistency. There's never a contradiction. And why is that? Because Christ promised to send the Holy Ghost to abide with his church, to keep it from error. Why is it also because he gives his apostles, go teach all nations. He said, I'll be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. And this is one of the reasons why, without any hesitation, we know that from 1962 to 1965, the Second Vatican Council was a false council. It taught things that the church had previously condemned, and now they're teaching it as teaching. One simple example. Pope Pius IX. He wrote encyclicals, he wrote allocutions, he made addresses to people. 32 times does he condemn the errors, the modern errors of his time. And he was concerned that not all of these teachings had reached all throughout the world. So he made up a compendium called the Syllabus of Error in 1864, condemning, amongst many things, religious indifferentism. That, oh, it doesn't matter what religion you belong to. You can belong to any religion because all religions are pleasing to God. He condemned that. He condemned the idea that man could worship God any way he wants. He is free to do what he wants. He can reject the religion revealed by God. He can reject Christ. He condemned that. Vatican Council II, 100 years later, promotes the very things that were condemned in the Syllabus of Error. It's black and it's white. So we wonder what in the world happened at Vatican Council II. Well, we can see evidence of that too. One thing that stands out very in great contrast, John the 23rd, who called for Vatican II and Paul the 6th, who ended it, they made an agreement with Moscow, with Russia, communist Russia. We will not condemn communism. Don't worry about it, it's not going to be condemned. They were close to 400 bishops who petitioned, hey, when we get together, we need to condemn communism. Communism is spreading. It's evil. It's spreading throughout the world. And they were told, no chance. Not going to talk about it. We're not going to address it. We're not going to do it. There were bishops who were very befuddled. What in the world's going on? But that was just, I can give one example after another. Listen, we don't have the time, but let us remember this. How beautiful it is that we have the Catholic faith. The same faith that we believe today is what St. Athanasius and the Council of Nicaea believed 1,700 years ago. And it even goes all the way back to the apostles and to Christ. So let us be strong in our faith. And this is what St. Peter warns us about. He says in his epistle, brethren, be watchful, be sober, for the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, strong in the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.